Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Again, it was just a great worship, and I had a great time in it. You know, I had a thought when I was worshiping then. We know that the Lord assigns angelic hosts to be with his people, and I'm thinking, man, they must be singing real loud with us, right? Too bad we can't hear it. It'd probably be pretty awesome. I think they're probably all in tune, I'm guessing, angelic beings, but it was great. Good to worship the Lord. Would you join me in prayer as we look into the Word of God? Father, we come before you today. We thank you so much for allowing us, Lord, to be here, to come before the throne of grace. And as we continue our studies in your Word in Romans, as we finish chapter 6, would you speak to our hearts, illuminate our minds, allow our hearts to understand and be more than just a mental thing, but something that would impact us, Lord. Thank you so much for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have gone through the book of Romans, hopefully you have followed along, and you know that we're in a place where all the stuff, the treatise, the things that has been described about the Christian life, it's from chapter 1 to 5. Now we are going to a place where we're actually learning to live it, and the Apostle Paul is sharing. And a word that you might know if you study in Sunday school now is the word sanctification. It is a process in which our human lives, redeemed by the Almighty God, they are being transformed into his likeness. So chapter 6 talks about that. And in this particular passage, as we finish the chapter, begins talking about something that we're not really comfortable with. The concept, the word, the whole thing that is called slavery. Slavery. You know, when we look at history, slavery has always been a part of human nature and human situation. All the way up to really recently, whole nations would enslave another one. Certainly back in the days when Paul wrote this, he understood slavery. In the city of Rome, there was an estimate about for every free man, there were three slaves. And so slavery was common. They understood that. And when Paul speaks about slavery, he uses the word in the Greek, doulos. And sometimes that word is translated often because in the context of being a Christian and serving the Lord, we use that word as servant, servants of the Lord. Actually, the word is doulos. It is literally meaning slavery. And slaves are not people that just can go around doing anything they want, depending on the situation. You are owned by somebody. You're owned by someone else who can do almost anything with you, and probably most cases can do anything with you. And so, you know, in our country, we fought a war to abolish slavery. In Europe, there were all kinds of situations. In China, in Africa, everywhere, slavery was a part of life until recently. But even recently, we do have slavery. We are told that there's upwards of 23 million people, mostly girls, that are trafficked all around this world. And unfortunately, in the United States, the city that trafficked girls the most, right here in Houston. There's so many brothels here, illegal ones, obviously, all kinds of terrible things happening. These are slaves. They are enslaved. These are girls that have been trafficked. We know that in Ukraine, in Eastern Europe, we did the study on it, and that's one of the reasons why we do a lot of the things we do with orphans, is 7 out of 10 girls coming out of the orphanages, which is about 200,000 that are in orphanages, 7 out of 10 will become prostitutes, and many of them would be trafficked throughout Europe, in the Middle East, and even into the United States. This is a form of slavery. But there are all kinds of ways to be enslaved to things. I remember one of the things that we used to do, we ministered with young men who were involved with gangs. And I remember this particular one. He was in jail. He was caught. I won't tell you the story about it. But I went there. I went to sponsor him to get him out, him and another one. And I did get them out. And I was kind of watching them. The court gave them to me. But one of them did okay, the other one didn't do so well. And he went along and tried to do different things. And one of the things he wanted to do was get out of the gang. You know, you join a gang today, those of you that are young, if you are even thinking about it, or you know some people that are, you don't get out of gangs. It's a lifetime thing. And so I remember him telling us that he wanted to get out of the gang, but his Dilo, you know, his big brother said, oh, you can't unless you do this one more thing for me. He just had to do one thing for him. You know what that thing is. It's always the impossible thing. He had to go and execute another person. And he did. He tried anyway. He got his gun together. He went after it. And fortunately, he was arrested before he accomplished the task. But nevertheless, when you are a slave to something, you don't just get out because you want to get out. And so I bring that attention to you because here in this passage, the Apostle Paul talks about slavery. And it's interesting. He says that in verse 16, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as doulos, as slaves, for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. He said, basically, if you are going to obey someone as slaves, you are going to be stuck there. Because slaves must obey. And so when we were born into sin. We were born as slaves to sin. All of us are slaves to sin. We had no choice about it because of Adam. We went through that the last few weeks. And we are slaves to sin. And as we present ourselves to that thing, that sin, we are slaves to it. Everything that we do, no matter how many good things we might plan to do, we ultimately are serving as slaves to sin. That sin nature is that powerful, and you can't get out of it. There's no way you can get out of it apart from the grace of God. So a person said, no, I want to be a good person. I see all these terrible things in my family. I see all these terrible things in my culture. I don't like that stuff. I want to be a good person. You may try as you will, but you are nevertheless still a slave to sin. And sin will command you, and you must obey. That's just how it works. That's what slavery is. But you see, because of the grace of God, because of the gospel message, because the message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary and rising again in 3 days, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the only power that can free you from slavery. It is literally you are in a cage, and that power, that gospel opens up that cage, and you can come out. And when you and I gave ourselves to Jesus Christ, when we obey, this is what it says here, that as we chose obedience to God, we are no longer a slave. We are no longer slaves to sin. But we are instead slaves to righteousness. Now, here is something that's going on in our society today. Perhaps not only now, I'm sure even back then, 2,000 years ago. There were people that said, oh, great, God has freed me from being a slave to something. I no longer am slave to sin. That means I'm free to do anything I want. Wrong. This is a wrong concept of what the Bible is talking about in slavery. You are going to be a servant or a slave to somebody. You do not have this choice of saying, I'm just going to be a servant of nobody. If you say that, that means you're serving to yourself. And if you're serving to yourself, again, you're brought back to being a servant or a slave of sin. Because God did not make you and I to be masters of our lives. God is the master. He is the Lord. So we have to be a servant, a slave to somebody. Who's it going to be? We're going to be free from sin and follow obedience, which is following Jesus Christ, or we're going to still be in sin. There is only two choices. There are no more than that. You can't have a third choice. And so there are a lot of people today who say, well, I go to church. You know, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says the grace of God, we're forgiven. I can do anything. I can live out my life. I don't have to go to church anymore. It doesn't matter because I'm free to do whatever. And in fact, Paul is talking to them about this. The same thing that happened, that's happening now, happened back then. Are we a slave to obedience? Are we a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he our master or is he not? If he is not our master, then sin is still your master. So how can that be? How can that be? Well, I want you to understand something. Being a Christian is not just adding Jesus to our lives. It's just not making our lives better. I think that too often that's how believers think of it, or even churches. You know, you come to church, you do a little thing, you add your little bit of Christianity to your life. That's not it. Because it is so powerful, the gospel message is so powerful. The righteousness of God is so powerful that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, when the gospel message comes into us and takes over our lives, there is not just something different about us. There is a transformative situation in our lives. We are literally transformed. We are changed. And this is really important for us to understand. Because sometimes we become a Christian, well, most of us, and, you know, it's not massive changes. We don't look any different. Sometimes you can see a radiance in people's faces, actually. But, you know, we're not suddenly, you know, turned into another being or something like that. So we think, well, what's happening? Okay, all right, our names are written in the book of life. That's great. But what else? You and I need to understand the scripture tells us that we are transformed. And there is a word here that's really important. He's talking about this being this form, the word form here. That as we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we are brought into this form. The word form in the Greek is the word tupath. That word is better translated as a mold, a mold. If you don't know what that is, a long time ago when I was in just studying to be a civil engineer, one of the things I really enjoyed was the labs, you know, all the calculation, the calculus, the, you know, this physics and all that. That's interesting. But the labs really kind of tickle my fancy. We'll go into these testing labs and we'll test how strong certain things are. But one of the things I really liked doing was foundry. There we learn how to mold things. Or actually, well, what happens is we will make a mold. We will form a mold, whatever it is. It could be something for the desk, something for whatever. And then we will get to this furnace where we will melt this metal. It was really interesting. It was really hot. You know, the solid piece of metal would then be melted into kind of just liquid. You don't want to touch it or anything. It's just really, really hot. And then you will pour this liquid metal into the mold that we made. And when it dries, when it cools down, whatever mold it is that we made, whether it's an animal shape, whether it's a letter shape, we made T-square, so there are things that, you know, is shaped like a T, and it will form, and it will be that. In this word here, this word that is used here in NASB as the word form, the word tupath in Greek, it literally means a mold. And so what happens when we give our lives to Jesus Christ is like the mold that we were in is broken, it's gone. The sinful mold that we were in, that we were born with, when we're born into sin, you know, the sinner state that we were in, that is broken. And the Lord forms a new mold. There's a new mold that's created for us. And that's why one of the things I do when I witness to people, one of the first things I tell them is that God has a wonderful plan for your life. You heard that before. You probably heard it. Maybe that's why you responded to the Lord. God has a wonderful plan. God has a new form for you. It is different than the old one. And so when you give your life to Jesus Christ, that form, that new mold is for you. It is different. It is not the same as it was before. It is totally different than before. Before you were a sinner, you lived in sin, you thrived in sin, you enjoyed sin, you did everything for sin. You say, no, I did things for people, whatever reasons it wasn't for God. It wasn't for righteousness, it was for sin. That's what we did. That's how we lived our lives. That was our mold. And now there's a new mold that God has created. And you're being poured into that. You're being transformed into that. You know, one of the things, some of you have been Christians for a long time. Some of you are a little bit older like I am. And sometimes we may look at our children, we may look at our grandchildren, we may look at our friends, our relatives, maybe our friends, our best friends or co-workers, whoever. And we say, how can God ever change these people? Maybe there's some that are wayward. You've been praying for them. God, you know, how can this happen? Maybe it's your husband, your wife, just not living for the Lord. Maybe doing things that are horrible and terrible, nobody knows but you. I want you to know something. God has a new mold for him, you know. God has a new mold for her. There's a plan that God has in mind. And what you want to do is share the gospel with the person. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Pray that he or she will respond to the Lord. Because when that happens, things will change. People that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, all kinds of terrible addictions, people that are wrapped up in sinful things, people that are wrapped up with things that just is horrible. I want you to know that God has a plan for them. God has a new mold in mind. He's going to form them. He's going to form them into this new thing. We are going to see a transformation when someone gives his life to Jesus Christ. In a few weeks, we'll be baptizing a number of people, actually. We got quite a few being baptized on Thanksgiving Sunday. and each and every one of them as a public declaration, a saying that God has transformed my life. God has transformed me by giving me the gospel. I have received the righteousness of God. I have received His good news. And now He's given me a new life. I'm going to die as I represent, you know, going under the water, coming back out. I will have a new form. Isn't that great? There is great hope in those that you and I love because God has a great plan for them. You see, slavery, well, there's a good slavery and a bad one. A bad one is sin. The good one is to be a slave of Jesus, to be a servant of the living God. The second thing we want to say here, wages are earned. Wages are earned. And it's interesting, verse 23, the verse that we've memorized, most of us memorized for a long, long time ago. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You earn wages. See, death is something we deserve because of sin. We sin. And when we sin some more. It gets progressive. It says over here all the time, it says, further lawlessness. Your members are slaves to impurity in verse 19 and to lawlessness resulting in further lawlessness. You see, that's what happens when we commit sin. You know it. You start once, you never lied before. Let's say you're a kid, oh, you lied. And it's easy to lie next time, next time, next time. I met a few pathological liars. I can't believe how much they lie. There's one particular person I have in mind a long time ago. He just lied so much that, you know, it's so obvious you can't believe him. He said, I was driving in my Porsche at 155 miles an hour on the Cross Island Parkway. Now, have you ever been on the Cross Island Parkway in New York City? You'd be flying off that road if you're driving 155 miles an hour. He just wanted to tell everybody, and everyone's looking at him, we don't believe you, Frank. We don't believe you at all. It didn't matter. He just keeps on lying and lying and lying. You get to a place. When did he start lying like that? He started a little bit, and he went on and went on and went on and went on. That's what you do. You know, you start taking drugs. You do this, just a little bit, recreational, on. Next thing you know, you're in rehab, hopefully. All kinds of stuff like that. These are the things that you do. This is what sin does. Sin begets sin, some more sin, some more sin. Eventually, sin will go to destruction and to death. That's what the Bible says. And these are the wages of sin. You earned it. You earned it. The consequences of sin you have earned. See, but it's not my fault, it's my parents' fault. We can blame anybody we want to, but nevertheless, the consequences are the wages that we have earned. We earned those things. And one of the best things to do, I believe, and when we are confronted with these things, they own up to it. Yep, that's it. It's on me. Maybe my parents didn't help. Maybe my culture didn't help. Maybe my friends didn't help. Maybe my circumstance didn't help. But you know what? Until you own up to it, it's not going to help. You're just going to keep on. Because wages are earned. You say, what does that have to do with salvation? Well, salvation is not a wage. It's not something you earn. This is really important. The last part here is gifts are free. Really important for us to understand. A lot of Christians, too many Christians, I've talked to some even just recently, who believe that they have to earn salvation. If not salvation, the things about salvation. They believe that they need to earn God's love, as if God would love them better if they're better Christians. I want you to understand, God would never love you any more than He loves you right now. Because His love is not because of you. He loves you. That's it. It's unconditional. There's nothing you can do. You give more tithe, He's going to love you. No. You come to church more faithfully, be on time a little bit more. No, that's not going to help. You say, oh, Pastor Dan, He's giving us an out now? No, I'm not giving you an out. I'm just telling you, it doesn't change God's love for you. God's love is free. The gospel is free. The righteousness of God is free. It is a gift. They are all gifts that God gave to you and to me. You can't earn them. Only sin's wages are earned. You earn that one. You deserve that one. Wages are always deserved. Gifts are always free. You don't deserve any of them. I don't deserve any of them. But God has given this grace to us. So there are people today who are always feeling that if I was just a better Christian, I wouldn't have these things happen to me. If I was a better Christian, I would have a better testimony. If I would do this and that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. A lot of Christians do, because they're stuck in something that is just not biblical. I know that sometimes you come from the Catholic background, it's really hard. It's really hard. It's really hard to get out of the concept that you have to do penance to get out of it. In Eastern Europe, there is the Orthodox Church. They do the same thing. And in fact, sometimes when we talk to our Baptist friends out there, they're still stuck with some of that stuff. That you have to pay penance. You have to do certain things, or else you are going to not get to heaven, or at least you're not going to get the blessings of God unless you are willing to do it. You need to understand that it is not like that. God loves you. God loves me. The gift of Jesus Christ and his love is free. The only thing we can do is accept it. The only thing we can do is receive it. The only thing we can do is that. We can't make it better. We can't earn it. We can't say, if we would do this, God would do this. No, it doesn't work that way. But nevertheless, when we come to know Jesus Christ, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, his righteousness comes into our lives, and he gives us this new mold, and he forms us. And the person that we will ultimately become is nothing like the old, nothing like it at all. You're not going to be that sinner. That doesn't mean you won't sin, but you're not going to be that sinner that you were before. You are going to struggle with sin because we live still in our mortal bodies, as we talked about last week. But nevertheless, we are not going to be conquered by sin. We are not going to be mastered by sin. The things that is gripping you right now, if there is anything at all, you need to know, if you know Jesus Christ, that thing does not have to hold you. You do not have to give in to that thing. And you say, I can't get out of it. I'm stuck. If that is the case, I'd love to talk to you and examine whether you have given your life to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has made a promise to us. The Word of God is clear that we are new creations. We are transformed. There is a new mold in us. God has planned for us to live another kind of life. And he will give us the power and the grace to do that. And he will give it freely. You don't have to earn that. You say, well, what does that mean? I was a Christian 20 years ago. These 20 years, what should be happening? Well, God has given you a new mold. And you're becoming that. You're becoming the thing that God wants you to be. And maybe it takes a little time. There's a lot of things that has to be crucified. There are things that have to be released. As God speaks to your heart, as God speaks to who you are and what he wants you to be, you have to release those things and say, God, I want that. I want that in my life. And there are moments in our lives. You know, I know different Christian factions will call it different things. Some will call it the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some will call it the second act of grace, whatever it is. But there are moments in your life in which God will call upon you. And it's not salvation, because you already gave your life to Jesus Christ. You have that mold. You know, it's there. Transformative power is already in your life. And God is saying, you are a new creation. Now he's coming to you. He's speaking to your heart. He said, you know what? There's something I want you to do. I need you to do this. And it's different for different people. The end result is that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will be transformed, you'll be a changed person. I know what happened to me. I know. I was 19 years old. Actually, 18 years old. 5 years after I became a Christian, thought I served the Lord. I had planned out my whole life. I was going to be an engineer. I knew what I was going to do. I want to serve God. I was faithful. I went to church all the time. Every Friday night, we went out there. We had a coffee house right on the street, right on East Broadway. We shared the gospel with people. Every Sunday, I went faithfully to Sunday school. I went to church. I did what I could. Learned how to play the guitar so I can sing and help along with the worship team. I know. But there was a moment in which God took a hold of my life and said, I have something for you. My life for you is not the life you think you have. And he said it in all kinds of different ways. Broke my heart, got tears in my eyes so many times I never had before. But God said, I want something else. I need you to make that choice in your life. because I want you to be transformed and fill into this mold that I have for you. Nobody in their right mind would have thought that I would be a pastor, never. That was God's plan for me. What is God's plan for you? It'd be sad that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You received this free gift. And then God has this planned out mold for you. And as he's pouring you into it, you stop it. You stop it. Because you're letting your mortal body and the things of life and the hopes of your mortal body, your desires of your mortal heart, say, no, I don't want that. I don't want all that God has for me. I just want enough to be saved. I want enough to be around Christians, but I don't want that. And so you stop it. For the next 20 years, you live out your life doing the things that you had planned out. Has nothing to do with God whatsoever. You're a good person, but you didn't fill that mold. That mold is still empty or partially empty. And God is speaking to your heart to say, I have something planned for you. I have something that I want you to be. And it's nothing you can do to earn it, but it's so awesome, great, because you're going to live out the life that I have in mind for you. And it's free. I want to tell you, no matter how long you waited, and if indeed you have pushed that back, it is always there available for you. That God is still going to do something with your life. I've seen enough of that. People who have said, you know what? I am a servant of the living God. I am a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do want to become that person that he has sent the mold to. How about you? How about you? I love the shirt that DTS has. I have a couple of them. My son Ryan, who's here today, got it for me. Unfortunately, I can't fit it. One size too small. It's in Greek. It's a doulos. I think it's doulos to Christo. Servant of Jesus or slave. I love that. That's who we are. Guys, that's who we are, okay? We either servants of sin or we're servants of the living God. Servant of the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary for me. Not hard to be a servant. Not hard to be a slave of Jesus. Not hard at all. Not after what he did for me. That's who we are. And if we are that, he has this beautiful mold. If you haven't occupied that mold yet, if you haven't allowed that mold to become all of you, oh, you're missing out. You're missing out big time. And the Apostle Paul says, you don't want to do that. You want to fill that. You want to live out that life. Where slavery to sin has no part about your life. Okay, once in a while you may sin, you may succumb to your mortal body, but you know what? You come before the Lord and seek forgiveness, and God gives you grace and forgives you and moves you on, and you become a better person. Okay. But you know what? Your life is going to be different. Your life is going to be awesome. You're going to mean something to other people. You're going to make a difference wherever you are, whether it's at work, whether it's at home. You're going to make a difference because of the power of God's love in you. And it's free, because that's his gift. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the life that you give to us. Oh, Lord God, only you can do that, that you would actually care about us, sinners, who didn't care about you at all. Oh, Lord God, I pray that in this room, Lord, would you minister in a way only you can, that each and every person will know that the mold that you have made for them, while they are occupying it, they're being transformed into it. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.